Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. This is the Monday edition, and this is a special day. And the reason why it's so special, McDonald's Monday. You are not to go to McDonald's or any other fast food place to eat. You are not to go to McDonald's. This is McDonald's Monday. You are not to go to McDonald's for any reason. None. Then we have Tuesday, lottery ticket day. You are not to buy any lottery tickets on Tuesday. None. For any reason. So we have McDonald's Monday. Spend no money at McDonald's on Monday. None. Lottery Tuesday. That's right. You are not to buy a lottery ticket on Tuesday. Wednesday, Walmart Wednesday. That's what we call it. Or any 7-Eleven store or Dollar General, any of these stores you are not to spend money at. I know there are no longer dollar stores, but you are not to spend any money at these dollar stores. No money at Walmart, no money at 7-Eleven, none of the stores. We're setting up a Pacific boycott of certain stores. See, one of the things that I'm concerned about the billionaires, you see. They're getting richer and richer and richer off of the poor people. That's right. So no McDonald's on Monday. None. No McDonald's on Monday. That's important. No lottery ticket buying on Tuesday. You do not buy or spend any money for the lottery on Tuesday. On Wednesday, you do not shop at Walmart, 7-Eleven, the Dollar General, all these dollar stores that's no longer dollar stores. You spend no money there. None. Thursday. You don't buy gas. No gas. Go to no gas station. Go to no Myers or anything that sells gas. Do not buy any gas on Thursday. Or alcohol. Alcohol beverage? No. Just say no to alcohol. Say no to alcohol beverage. Just say no. And then Friday, foreign stores, these Sally Mae, these hair places, where you buy your wig and your wig pieces, whatever it is, on Friday, you do not spend any money with foreigners. None. Nails, get your hair done, Chinese food, not spend no money on Fridays with foreigners. Do not spend any money. Let me go over this again. McDonald's Monday. Remember this. Every Monday. That is not just today. Every Monday. Every Monday until 2024. We're not to spend any money at McDonald's on Monday. Or Burger King, Wendy's. Those places on Monday. We are not to spend any money at all with them. Keep your money in your pocket. Tuesday, do not purchase a lottery ticket. Wednesday, do not go to Walmart, 7-Eleven stores, any of those stores. Thursday, do not buy gas or alcohol. Friday, Do not spend any money at any of the phone stores. The hair product place, Chinese food, grocery stores that's ran by someone other than a black person, or even we can consider whatever you want, but we're not spending no money with foreigners. None, not a dime. And that's important. It's one of the things we're going to keep our dollars circulating within our own community. We're going to make sure that stuff like this never, ever, ever happens. So let's do what we have to do. Make sure we're on top of what we're doing and make this happen. And I want to pay a special tribute to my good friend, Will Bronskin. He's deceased. He was buried on Saturday. He was the unsung hero in our midst. Will, the fallen soldier. We say this to Will. You fought a good fight. And I just want to thank you, the Reverend Edward Pittman. I'd like to thank you, Will Bronskin, and his family. He was a great man. He just wasn't an ordinary guy. He was a great, great, great man. That he was. You never remember, because they don't talk about people who sacrifice for others. Very seldom you hear him say, and Will sacrifice. Now, he's one of the leaders that got out here and fought. Matter of fact, he was part of the NAACP, but he had a falling out with them because of they don't like you when you're aggressive and you're doing what needs to be done. But Will Bronskin, I want you to know, and his family, that we love you, and we're proud to have been in the presence of Will Bronskin, you know. And he's a hero, you know. We're going to miss you. And I have to admit, during this last year, because of this water crisis, I did not fulfill my obligation to visit you as much as I should have. I did not. But I just want you to know that we love you, and we love your family, and we're going to continue to make this thing happen and move this to a new level. Listen, I want to talk about Brittany Griner just for a second. Because I think that's important, because what I have discovered is that there's a lot of people, including black people, who were not in favor of her being released. Well, let me say this. I am 100% in favor of her being released. Even if it wasn't her this time and it was the other guy, I would have still been in favor. Because I've been in prison, and I don't want people to know that's no picnic in the park. And I can imagine being in prison and worse. By her being a celebrity like she was, I would imagine they gave her good treatment. You know, I would think they did. They may not say it, but I would imagine that, you know, certainly when you're in prison, you're a certain type of person, they give you good treatment. Because they gave me good treatment, other than the guards themselves. You know, they was ready to kill me if they could, you know. But that's all part of this thing, you know. We have to understand what direction we're in. But look, but this is what shocked me more than anything else. Yesterday I gave some figures, and my figures was a little bit off. That's because I didn't calculate them myself. I'm reading from what somebody else said in reference to that. But they said, out of all the white people that commented on this, 76% was against her being released, period. 76%. That's a lot, you know. That's a lot. I couldn't see that, but by me, myself, let's say if the other guy would have got released, I would not been against him being released ahead of Brittany. I would not, because, you know, when you negotiate getting people out of prison, it's a whole different ballgame, you know, because even though, like, all my convictions was overturned, you know, it took negotiation and it took time. Even when I got my appeal bond, it took time for that also. Everything takes time, you see, especially dealing with a system. You're dealing with two corrupt systems. You got the United States corrupt, and you got Russia. They're corrupt. Two corrupt systems that don't care nothing about the people, don't care nothing about them. But they had to go here to bring that girl home. They had to, because the world was watching. She had some, I don't even know what that is that she had. And they say it was illegal in Russia. I have no idea what that is. I have no idea what that is. I don't, you know, if you would have told me it was something real heavy or something like that, I still wouldn't know. I don't know. You know, that is not my world. I don't deal with that world, but I understand the world, you know, because I know one thing about the crack cocaine. I know about marijuana. And I know how devastating crack cocaine has been on the black community, and especially women. It attacks women like nothing in this world. It attacks them and destroys them. The male, it does something to them too, but not as bad as women. Crack cocaine has been involved with every single family almost that lives in the ghetto. Every single family member, you know, somewhere along the line, if they wasn't selling it, as my friend said earlier today, if they wasn't selling it, they was using it. And that created a problem because you don't really get to understand the full effect. You see, what's happening today in the streets, these drive-by shootings, you know, is a result of these crack babies, you know. Crack cocaine base. Well, you say, well, I didn't do crack, but your neighbor did. Now your son hanging with him, hanging with the boy who with the son who's on crack cocaine or whatever. It's always something going on, and a lot of times you might want to get out of this to escape this world, but before you do that, think about the future. You see, we have right now more single mothers than ever before. A lot of that is that the father do not want to step up to the plate and fulfill his obligation. And then it could also be that the mother, once she don't have nothing to do with that man, she don't want him to have anything to do with the children. So it's a whole lot of scenarios here. But we have to understand the thing. When you pregnate a lady, and a woman get pregnant, now what you do, you build for the future of that child. That's the most important thing in your life. Your mother and father is not as important as your children because you have an obligation to them. Your parents have an obligation to you to help form that so that you can understand exactly what direction you're going to head in. But it's crucial that people understand this. You can't get around it, you see, because it's here. Crack cocaine has practically created a whole new black race. Because right now, people are saying, I was talking to this young man last week, and he told me something that that shocked me more than anything else. He said that he has no reason to live. A little 16-year-old boy, he said, I don't have a reason to live. I said, you don't have a reason to live? I mean, it shocked me to hear him say something like that. So you're telling me that you don't have a single, you don't have nobody that you love that you want to live for. Is that what you're telling me? I know your mom and dad may not be together, but don't you want to live for your father or your mother? Don't you want to live for them? Well, that's how I grew up. We knew that we had a reason to live because they laid the foundation. We have to lay the foundation down there so people can understand exactly what we're coming from, you see. And let me say this. You know, I love my black brothers and sisters, but you guys are the hardest people in the world of hell. You guys are the hardest people in this world of hell, you see. I know it comes with the thinking, you know. You want to think differently about this. But the thing is, you got to move yourself out the way. Move yourself. Move it. When you move yourself out the way, you can do great things. You can't do great things as long as you got yourself right in the middle of it. That's the truth. And we as people, we got to change what we're doing. We gotta think about the future because, what they have done to our race, you know, it goes all the way back over 450 years. That's when over 450 years, the torture, the mistreatment, the hanging, the rape, all this stuff, it started over 450 years and is still with us. And we cannot be motivated by money. Once we become motivated by money, we cannot get the job done. But I want to just reiterate, we talked about McDonald's Monday. Don't forget, that's very, very, very important. Then we have Tuesday, lottery tickets. No purchases of a lottery ticket on Tuesday. Wednesday, no Walmart, no 7-Eleven, none of these stores, none. And every week I'm going to reiterate this, especially on Monday. I'm going to reiterate these are not what you're supposed to do. And Thursday, do not buy gas or alcohol beverage. Do not, for any reason. Friday, do not enter a foreign store, regardless Indian, whether it's Chinese, Japanese, Korean, whatever it is. Don't go get your nails done, your toes, none of that stuff. We're spending no money. Don't go buy Chinese food. Buy none of that stuff. None. None. Don't buy any of it because it's important. We're going to keep these dollars circulating in our community and let the folks know that if we keep our money in our pocket, we can control you. That's the most important thing. We're being controlled right now. They're doing what they want to do right now. Whatever they feel like doing, that's what they do. Because they know that we're going to spend money. If we got a dollar, we're going to spend 99.5 cents, maybe $1.03, and only have a dollar. That's what we do, spend the money. But remember, no McDonald's on Monday. That's so important. Somebody got to tell the truth. Tuesday, no lottery ticket. Wednesday, no Walmart. Thursday, no gasoline, no alcohol. Friday, no foreign store. On that note, I'm going to bring in my good friend, the one and only, Phil Baskin. And we're just going to have a conversation. We're just going to talk today. That's all we're going to do, just talk. We're going to show these folks that, you know, that there are things that we can do to change what's going on in the world today. Philip? Are you there? Talk to me.
Yeah, I'm here, Reverend. I wanted to make a comment. You were mentioning the young man, the 16-year-old that didn't have anybody to live for. I just heard a survey. This is white and black. I think it's across the country. 65% mm-hmm. of the people surveyed said they don't have a friend, and I find that they can't think of one friend that they have, and that's very disturbing to me. But,
remember this, years ago, you know, people knew how to be a friend. Now people don't know how to be a friend. They don't know how to be friends. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They have no clue on how to be a friend. They never been taught. They never know how to embrace something, you know, and that's probably one of the reasons why these young guys be joining these gangs, which make no sense to me. But, but they do. That's what they do, Philip.
It's all they've got.
Yeah.
It's the only alternative that they can see, I think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Reverend, you know that my daughter married a black man, and
mm-hmm.
she's been for, 16 years now. And
yeah.
I just wanted to tell you.
I remember because I married them.
That's right. You did.
That's right. When I marry you, you stay married.
Yeah, and they're doing great. They really are doing great, and their kids are they're super kids, in my opinion. Maybe that's just a grandpa talking, but they're all, I think, happy and successful, and they're just such achievers. It's unbelievable. But one thing I wanted to say, you know, she experiences prejudice. It's funny because when she's by herself, she'll walk into a store and she says she's treated like a queen because she's
mm-hmm.
an attractive woman.
Yes,
and people hold the door. But when she brings her kids in with her, then all of a sudden she's being watched like a hawk, the whole family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, I can tell that she's become bitter and cynical, and that's been a real that's really affected her outlook on life and
yeah.
to see how hypocritical people are, you know. It's sad. And another thing she was telling me, you know, it's the holidays now, and she was just at a family gathering of with John's family. And,
yeah.
you know, the one comment that she made that makes her so sad, you know, she says it's almost become it's out of style to be a nuclear family. She said
mm-hmm.
everybody in his family, all the women are single mothers, and there's this kind of it's a pride in being a strong woman, which is not a bad thing. But all the male members of his family, well, all the families, period, all the people have been affected by crack in some way, whether they are addicted to it or selling it. And so, you know, a lot of the black men in my neighborhood, I'm sure, are in prison because of these things. And so it's, you know, the destruction of the family, I guess, is what I see. And she says, you know, she said, how many, nuclear families do you know, black families? And I happen to know two on my street. I do know
mm-hmm.
two couples. They're older, but they I guess they're the exception. I don't know what the percentage is, but
let me say the younger ones. It's probably a high percentage because one of the things that they're broadcasting to the community, especially to the black community, telling women, black women, you don't need a man. You don't need a man. You can raise your children all by yourself. You don't need a man. You can do better. Look at that. You can do better all by yourself. But that's because you're thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about the children. When you think about the children, You should have a man and a woman, a mother and a father, with that child. And here's something too. See, one of the things when you get let's say you and your me my girlfriend when I'm growing up, I'm 18 years old and she gets pregnant. At that time, my focus is on her. And the baby, you see, I consider my life at that time, whatever I dreamed about doing, no longer exists. Only thing I want to do is make sure that child and that mother is taken care of. And I think that's the mentality that we got to get back to. One of the things that my dad taught me, he said, the children, are where you can grow and build a foundation. If you don't have a foundation with the children, then you're not going to have a foundation, period. And it's not going to affect just you. It's going to affect your neighbor down the street, across the street, on the other side of the street, maybe on the next street. He said, but you have to make sure that you're doing all the things that you're supposed to do to make this happen, to make his life secure. Because people don't understand how serious this is. And what you just said is so huge because, you know, nowadays you – look, I would say right now maybe at least 65% of the young girls that got babies are single or more.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
At least, you know. And you know what they say? I don't need a man.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then hear what now. Think about the men's now. The men's now, they're trying to leech on to any young lady who has an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how they do. They leech on. They become leeches. And they go from woman to woman. The only criteria that a woman has to have is that she has to have an apartment. Here's something too that I found when I was in jail. And I didn't know this. This guy told me he liked big women. And mm-hmm. I said, well, why do you like big women? He said, they'll take care of you, you see. I said, but you a man, shouldn't you be taking care of her? And he said, well, in some cases, she needs to, you know, I need to be taken care of. I said, oh, no, you know. And ever since I've been knowing him for over 20 years, and all he do, he like big women. And, you know, he get there, go live with them, and he's satisfied. How could you see, there's no standards now. You know, people just get out here and do things. And let me get back to that, the crack. You know, talk a little bit more what you know about crack. Tell me what you know.
Well, here's what I know, is that the way it works on your brain, it produces serotonin, which is a feel-good chemical in our brain.
Yeah.
And meth does the same thing. Meth is kind of like the white people's crack, I think. And what mm-hmm. they do, you know, a normal serotonin level, I believe, is like if you're feeling really happy, have a good meal or some kind of everyday joy, you might get up to around 300, 400 or something like that. And crack cocaine will take to about 8,000. Meth can take you to 10 or 12,000. And the thing about that is that people that get on these drugs, and they make you feel really good. There's a big pull to them. But the problem is your body forgets how to make that. So it becomes impossible to recover because your world is so bleak and you can't even produce chemical that makes you feel good. And the other thing, you know, drugs have been used throughout history. Britain used opium to the Chinese people. And when the Chinese decided to, outlaw it, Britain made war on them. So the government, you know, drugs are about government control. And most of us know that the CIA introduced crack into the neighborhoods in L.A. back in, I don't know, the early 80s. And we've been watching the devastating effect ever since. You know, that's what I know about crack cocaine. You know, I have tried it once. I did try it once.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, I felt like Jesus Christ. I loved everybody, you know. So mm-hmm. I can see the draw. It's, you know, it has an amazing, gives you an amazing feeling. But, you know, 10 minutes later, you want more. And it's it's an endless cycle. And it's, you know, you can't win because, for one thing, you're probably never going to feel as good as you did on that initial high. And, you know, it's a losing battle, but, you know, people in our world, it's become so unfriendly and so many lies being told. And people, you know, there's not a lot of real options for a fulfilling career. We know there's exceptions. But for the most part, you know, you're going to end up, especially these days, you know, working 4 hours a day in a mindless factory job or, there's just, I don't know. I really feel for people, especially young people. And I always tell my kids, you know. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, one of the things that I learned is that when you anything that you're dealing with that makes you feel so good, you can become addicted to it. You see,
Sure.
And I think, mm-hmm. yeah, and I think that is one of the things that we miss out on. You know, I think it comes with telling your friends, you know, telling people, you know, hey, this is, you know, that stuff is real. And look, it didn't come on the scene by accident. They
right.
knew exactly how it was going to affect you. They knew it.
Sure.
And it's the cheapest drug you can have. And cocaine is a very expensive drug. But it was a
right.
no, at first came out with freebasing. See, freebasing was the ultimate. You see, freebasing was different than, because they used to tell the story how Richard Pryor was freebasing and he caught on fire. And
right.
and he'll do 5,000 hours worth of cocaine in a night. You see. And then there was this football player, Hollywood Haywood, and he called up his friend and asked his friend, could he borrow $10,000 until in the morning? He said, I need it right now. He said, I'm out here on the road, so I need $10,000 just for the night. So he was going to go out and buy him $10,000 worth of cocaine and use it until in the morning. But, it's not funny, but the thing is, freebasing was different. You know, you was getting pure cocaine in. You weren't getting all the garbage, you see.
Right.
You weren't getting all the garbage. But now when they came up with the crack cocaine, now you're getting garbage. You're getting a stimulus that messes with the brain. You're not getting the pure cocaine. Like they say, you get if you get cocaine from these countries over there, it's pure cocaine until it hits the States. Once it hits the States, they start diluting it. But if you cook all the substance off of it, then it becomes pure cocaine, and that's really what freebase was. Freebasing was more of a celebrity thing. Crack cocaine is a ghetto thing. You see, that's the difference between crack and between crack cocaine and the real cocaine, and that's what that created. You know, and what it does something to women. You know, women take that, they go nuts over it. You know,
uh-huh.
they actually go nuts over it, and it's not a pretty picture.
You know, I think in a biology class, they had an experiment where they used rats, and they gave them levers to push. One was food, one was water, and one was cocaine. And you know, at first, they picked between the three of them. And eventually, the rats picked only the cocaine until they died. That's how powerful that is. Isn't that crazy? I guess it's our animal brain working. Hey, Reverend, I wanted to. Can I switch gears for a minute?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I've been really studying a website lately that I think has a lot of important information about food. And I'd like to give it to you now. It's a real simple website. It's rcp123.org. RCP, it's the root cause protocol is what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm learning, and I'm pretty sure you said you're going to have Dr. Tynes on later, and I'd like to hear his, maybe if he's got any feedback on this, or if he wants to talk about something else, that's fine. But this one thing I've learned from this website is, contrary to almost what everybody thinks, you know, people are, like, none of us are deficient in iron. In fact, we all have an excess of iron, and it doesn't show up in our blood test. It's all hiding in our tissues. And this website goes into a lot of about how really iron carries the oxygen through our body. But we actually have the element of copper harnesses it. And the analogy he gives is that iron is the waiter and copper is the chef. So I too deeply into it, but I highly recommend that website. And they have videos on there. They call them webinars. And there's a little bit of a thing you have to go through to get it, but they're all free so far. I haven't spent any money. And a couple of things I want to tell you that I've learned. One thing is that, you know, our body has about 100 trillion cells, and all work in harmony with each other. And, you know, I don't know how anybody could be a doctor and not believe in God, because our bodies are such amazing organisms. And here's something I didn't know. You've heard of mitochondria, right? In our cells? Okay, so one thing about them, they have their own DNA. So, you know, they think that maybe at one time they existed outside of humans. I don't know. But here's the thing. We've got 40 quadrillion of these mitochondria in our body. It's an average of about 500 per cell. And if you go back to your high school biology class, you know, they used to show the cell, and they might show like one or two in there. And the situation is quite different. Now, the more important thing about these mitochondria is that they are the engines of our body. They produce all of our energy. And this whole, you know, the COVID thing, one thing people haven't been thinking about is everything is about energy. And you're not going to be immune to things unless you have energy. And you need these mitochondria to be working right, to convert the oxygen in your body to water. And then it turns into this thing called ATP, which is...
Let's let Dr. Tans come in and elaborate on that, or whatever you want to do real fast.
Yeah, I'd love to hear what he has to say.
All right. Absolutely. Hold that thought. Hold that thought, big fella. Hold it right there. All right. Let's have the one and only Dr. Tans from beautiful Benton Harbor, Michigan. Talk to me, Dr. Tans.
Thank you, Reverend. I'll try to hit a couple of the topics that I just heard. One, we got to, you know, addressing cocaine, and then two, in terms of the mitochondria. Number one, in terms of the cocaine in America, it has a unique history. The cocaine explosion in America, which later became the crack epidemic, had a unique history in that it was governmental based. It was federal government based. It was based on the Iran-Contra initiative. In other words, the United States was buying drugs from Manuel Noriega, i.e. the cocaine, and selling it on the streets of New York, Benton Harbor, Chicago, Harlem, throughout the United States to raise money to overthrow the Sandinista government. And so we, as an American country, use poor African-American, black neighborhoods, maybe some Hispanic neighborhoods, to sell drugs to the minority population or the poor to raise money to buy weapons to fight a war at another country site. So the United States was the biggest drug dealers openly in the history of mankind, and that was what the trial of Oliver North was based upon, and he... as a soldier, took the fall for the then president, Ronald Reagan. And then once the Iran-Contra was exposed and the trial started, that's when you had the dry up and the disappearance of the crack epidemic in the United States. And so the same thing happened just recently related to this current pandemic, that now that people will look, they will see that Fauci is being prosecuted, that the Senator Paul Rand and Peter Johnson and other ones did get enough votes to actually go out to and try to prosecute him and those who work with him. They manipulated data. They went out and tried to suppress hard science information that was contrary to what they were trying to force on people. They did a massive, massive, massive experiment with the messenger RNA vaccines that were never, ever used before in the history of mankind on human beings. So it was the first time ever that human beings were given messenger RNA vaccines, and therefore there was no real study for it. And then it was found out that the Pfizer lied on the data, and they have to also release that data, you know, to the public. So it was a collaboration between government men who are millionaires with other millionaire people. People don't know that Fauci is a multimillionaire, and he became almost a billionaire as a result of the pandemic with his control of everything. So there should be no distinction between the prosecution of Fauci and that of Trump. If you're going to do all of that to Trump, you have to do the same thing to Fauci. But they can't do that to Fauci because he has always been our man in terms of the DOD, Department of Defense. He has always been our guy for bioterrorism, for helping to develop weapons, biological weapons that we could use against enemies to America. So that's his, you know, his unique card that he's trying to play. You know, yes, the United States developed the current the virus in conjunction with the Wuhan lab, because we had a federal mandate that said that you cannot do that type of research in America because there might be an outbreak, just like what happened in China. So that outbreak, if it was being done here, could have actually happened here in Virginia and spread, you know, like they're struggling in China with. So the rationale, you know, made sense. The weaponization that they claim, that China claimed against the United States and took the United States to court in England, you know, those things still have to be sorted through. But I make those comparison in terms of the type of government and the mindset of the people that we have in government right now, and our people have forgot to use the word recall and getting just people into there. Now, the area of the mitochondrial DNA, now that was an area that I did a lot of work in because of its major anti-racism significance. Mitochondrial DNA is 100%, 1,000% against racism. But before we go there, anybody who takes a cholesterol drug called a statin, atorvastatin, simvastatin, any type of medicine that is for to lower cholesterol that's supposed to be taken at night, all of those people on those medicines must take CoQ10. CoQ10, capital C, little O, capital big Q, and the number 10, because the mitochondria need that, and that's depleted by the statin drugs. So elderly, everybody should be on CoQ10. CoQ10 is involved with what the young man was saying earlier. CoQ10 helps in the production of ATP. That is an energy source for the mitochondria to help them produce cells, antibodies, protein molecules. And then there's a second drug if the person is thin and frail. If the person is thin and frail and skinny, and it's your grandma, great-grandmother, then you would also want to have glutathione. Glutathione plus ATP will provide energy source. The NADPH and ATP are the sources that you need to build new muscles, to build new skin cells, to build new antibodies. So the high-dose vitamin C, 1,000 milligrams three times a day, vitamin D, you want to have that in your multivitamin to have your high-dose vitamin D, three multivitamins a day. Also in that three complete multivitamin a day is going to be the zinc that you need. You never need more than 25 milligrams of zinc. When you go over to 50 milligrams, that's your max. If you go beyond 50, your muscles are going to start cramping. So you want to have those. You want to avoid during this season, dairy. Dairy is a mucus producer, so you don't want to do that. So you want to make sure you do those things. You try to avoid any cold drinks before bedtime. If you're going to do drinks before bedtime, you want the hot tea and mucus. If you develop a cough, then you want to do hot tea. If you want to, if you have a sore throat, if you're getting congested, you want to do hot beverages, especially emphasizing on the vitamin C. And if you could throw some anti-inflammatory ginger and turmeric in there, that would be great as well. So you want to do that. Those help also with the immune system, and the, and you need to research vitamin D. Vitamin D is not vitamin D. It's not really a vitamin. It's a prodrug. It's a drug that has ubiquitous, in other words, it has many, many uses in the body, and the body uses that, but we call it vitamin D. And the thing about it is African Americans are particular deficient in vitamin D because African Americans, being in a European society, which is called America, avoids the sun. And so they are always covered up with clothing in that way, and so they're not getting vitamin D through the sun, touching their skin, generating from the vitamin D to the active vitamin D, which requires the skin. You get vitamin D made, goes to the liver, goes to the skin, gets reacted with the melanin in the skin. It gets turned into the active 125 vitamin D that can do all the things that the body needs other than just with the bones and bone strength. It's more than that. So looking and studying vitamin D is going to be helpful too there. So what did I say? I said that mitochondrial DNA, is anti-racism. And the reason that is that every single human being on the planet, not some, not a few, not many, but every single human being on the planet shares the same mitochondrial DNA. Everybody on the sound of my voice is sharing the same kind of mitochondrial DNA. And we know that DNA came from one specific woman. Her offspring are who we are today that dominate the world. And all they've done is do climatic adaptation. Climatic adaptation meaning that you lighten up when you can't tighten up. So in other words, when you go into these climates where there's little sun, you have to lighten up to try to get more sunlight into your skin. In Africa and in Egypt in particular, the only people that could survive there was black skin, because they would have been sunburned to death, or they would have been melanoma cancer to death. So that's why there was never, ever a European civilization in North Africa, Egypt, with the temperature of 122 degrees around lunchtime. That's not feasible. So those individuals who can survive those conditions are melanated, and those individuals have the greatest amount of diversity and went to different parts of the world, and they were called the Anu. And wherever you go in the world, you're going to always hear the name Anu and being adjusted. And you're going to see that your early founding populations in Japan, the Anu in Japan, also called the mountain people, are the people that they don't like to show you a lot, but these are your sacred people with woolly hair and Mongolian foals or epicanthial foals, looking like the Chinese foals of the eyes, with the brown or black skin in Japan. They, you know, are revered. They live isolated from Tokyo and Kyoto, but they're well known. And when you go to Japan, you check the museums of the samurai, you will see that there is a poem. For a samurai to be brave, he must have a bit of black blood. For a samurai to be brave, he must have a bit of black blood. And in the Metropolitan Museum in New York, from the conquest of Europe over Japan for a while, the 14th century samurai armor there shows the first samurai in history, Sakimoto Tomoro. Sakimoto Tomoro, he was the first shogun and samurai of Japan, and he is described also as virgin black skin and woolly hair. Virgin black skin and woolly hair. So we'll talk about a period of time before racism. So Yakusi, Chadwick Boseman was going to play, was not the first samurai. He was the first black to become a samurai from coming from overseas or coming from Europe. But that's not the first samurai of Japan. We also know Fu space H-I-S, Fu space H-I-S. Fu Xi is who the Chinese say are the first emperor of pre-dynastic China. And he was also described as virgin skin, virgin black skin, and woolly hair. And he also, and his population is called the Nakhis, N-A-K-H-I-S, N-A-K-H-I-S, the Nakhis. These were your original Chinese inhabitants, and that later you get the mixing, which you get your modern-day Chinese and Japanese. So your founding population, even in India, which were called the Dravidian. The Dravidian are also called the Dalit, D-L-L-I-T, D-L-I-T, the Dalit, also now called the Untouchables, because we know in medicine that linseed oil was a sun tanning lotion, because in the original Eastern Ethiopia, now called India, that Eastern Ethiopia, their system was that they would bathe the babies with linseed oil and put them out in the sun to darken their skin, because that is closer to Krishna. Krishna means the black one, which is the foundation of their base system, which we say Hail Krishna. That's Krishna, the black one, in that language. When you speak that language of Hindi, that's what you're saying. And that individual was also, I mean, he was rich midnight black, you know, in terms of that civilization, that form. See, we again, we're talking about before the advent of racism. And when we go over to Bilal and we go over to Muhammad, and when you're reading in the Torah, you will see that the description of Muhammad that they don't talk about, and the Arabic word for it, that his skin was black. They don't want to describe him, but his skin was black. His uncle in Ethiopia. Ethiopia is the Greek word for burnt face. And so his uncle had a burnt face. And why I'm saying all of this is that what we call North Africa, geographically, because that's where it's located, that was changed after World War II to be called Middle East. So North Africa and is called Middle East, though they never moved it physically over towards Iran or Babylon. They just started calling it, tricking you, politically. So the Middle East term for Egypt, the Middle East term for Palestine, the Middle East term for Canaan, the Middle East term for Israel is a lie. And because it's not in the Middle East, that's North Africa. That's why Christ was able to go with his mother and walk into Egypt, because they were already in North Africa. That's why Joseph could go right into Egypt and protect his son until Herod died, because they were already in North Africa. The other thing that is important, Moses walked in and out of North Africa, in and out of Egypt. So it was only the travel of Abraham that he was sent to that land of North Africa called Canaan, Genesis chapter 10, if you want to, you know, look that up. This is where you're going to go. And all of those people share the same mitochondria. All of those people share the same mitochondria. Now, what you'll find now that's in the news, when you look at the Hebrew population versus the Jewish population, you will see that some of those from Europe will have a part of the Y chromosome that is associated with Aaron's brother, Moses' brother, who, again, a North African individual, that this North African individual and Mizoram, also North African individual, Y chromosome you'll find in Europe and individuals who call themselves Jewish, European Jews. Now, the Hebrew is something different. The Hebrew is it comes from the Medo-Netcher, which is the hieroglyph of Egyptian language, Haribu, H-A-R-I-B-U, H-A-R-I-B-U, which we now vulgarize as Hebrew. Now, those individuals are different, because that individual was there until the fall of Jerusalem, until the diaspora. So the diaspora is dispersing and spreading out. But those Hebrew are unique in that those women of the Hebrew were, had blessed wombs, so they were making babies like rabbits. Okay, sorry to say it like that. And but wealth was based on family size. And so your European bodyguards for Caesar took those Hebrew women into Europe and had babies by them. Now, in the Hebrew tradition, according to the Torah, according to the Quran, according to your Bible, you always pass your lineage if you're not African, because African is matriarchal, matrilineal. So the Egyptians were African people, so therefore the heritage was passed, like in Black Panther, through the Queen Mother. So your lineage, your royalty is passed through the woman, passed through the mother. That's why the black woman has been attacked and made ignorant, made useless, made dysfunctional, made from a housewife into a hoe and made into a sex thing instead of a queen. That's why the attack was on her, because she's the foundation of a civilization. So those women that were Hebrew taken there, where they had the black skin, woolly hair, those women gave those European soldiers a large family, and the more bigger your family, the more land and wealth you had. And so there's a book called The Jewish Miracle and also Indestructible Jew that traces this unique passage in that in sand people and ice people cultures. It's always it's patriarchal. It's always father to son, father to son. That's why, you know, Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, not that line. But in this situation, you have it being passed from the woman. So that's why in that group of individuals called Jews, you have one sect that honors, says you pass it from mother to child, and the other one says we traditional father to son. So that's a thing inside of them. But in terms of the Hebrew tradition, it's still being passed from father to son. And so you will find that mitochondria, you will find that Y chromosome or that Aaron chromosome in your Africans over there in the land of Canaan called Palestine and Israel. Also, you will find it after dispersal in Ethiopia. You'll find it also among the Ashanti people. You'll find it all the way down in South Africa among the Lima. So racism was created by a few individuals in the 1400s as a result of them being able to come together as Illuminati, coming together as the Enlightened Ones to overthrow the African rule of Europe. Europe was under African rule for 700 years. The African did not want his European brother and sister to go extinct from the bubonic plague. If the African had not shown love to the European race, we would not be living like we are in America now. And Europe would have been a whole different place. Europe was being decimated by the bubonic plague. The Africans came in there and cleaned that up. So those Africans that were called the tall, dark, and handsome that came into Europe, that set up 16 universities, that established public and private baths, that created soap, that created toothpaste, that created change of clothes, those Africans we're talking about that brought in the fresh water from the mountains through the lead pipes that we know now that you can't keep using for that long. So that situation is that you can trace the mitochondrial DNA heritage back there. So everybody has a little African in them because we all show the great-great-great-great-grandmother. But the problem is that these individuals in America, being the worst of the European population, came up with a clause that if you have one drop of black blood, African blood, you are Negro. So because Mendel had said, the scientist Mendel said, that in the world, God made the black man first, and therefore the melanated skin, the black skin, is the dominant skin, and that the recessive skin would be, you know, white to yellow, or yellow to white to that aspect. Mendel said that the strong hair, the curly hair, was going to be dominant, and the stringy, loose hair is going to be recessive. And he based it on his studies where he, you know, at the Galapagos Island, and what we found out that his genetics was correct, because if you mix black skin you can get any kind of skin color you can, but white skin only gives you white skin. And so that's why they're trying to protect the they're trying to protect that right now. That's why you have these people, instead of doing brotherhood, they want to do a separate hood where they want to wear hoods and keep us separated and keep us against one another. So the whole thing is mitochondrial DNA joins us together. Mitochondrial DNA joins us together. Mitochondrial DNA joins us together because we have the 1988 Newsweek on the cover of African Eve. So again, January 11th, 1988, Newsweek magazine, and you will see the African Eve. So it's unquestionable that we all have a little bit African in us, some more than the other. And we have to start learning to love our Africanness, whether we what's called a leucoderm, where we have a little bit of melanin, or melanoderm, where we have a lot of melanin. But we have to stop the nonsense because you have a few individuals who got together and kicked the Africans out in 1492. That's when the Africans were through. In 1492, that's when they started enslaving me and you, Africans. So 1492 was when the Africans lost control of Granada in Spain. That was their last strongest stronghold. And the individuals there, Michelangelo, Galileo, all of these individuals had went to the university and studied under black professors and didn't have any problems. That's why you still find them, the pictures of Michelangelo. You even find the picture of St. Nicholas, who became white and became the Santa Claus. You'll find the original pictures of him are still showing black. This is all before a few little people like your federal the ones who run the banks, who are not the FDIC, a small group of individuals, a small group of billionaires make it bad for the rest of us. So a small group of multi-billionaires make a small-minded effort to cause all of this hell and destruction on Earth.
There you go, Doc. Hey, man, appreciate all that. Did you hear that, Phil? You might have a little in you now. It's going down. But thank you so much, Dr. Tam. You got too much wisdom for me. I tell you, you gave me an education today I'll never forget. And I appreciate that so much. Every Monday, I tell you, these comments are coming in left and right. And we're going to keep it moving. On that note, we have just ran out of time. And spread it around, Dr. Tam, because people need to know this. I'm going to spread it around. You spread it around. Everybody spread it around so people can get this knowledge. You hear what I'm saying? So let's take care of business. Talk to you soon. Take care of yourself, Doc, and I'll talk to you soon.